Good morning and afternoon, everybody. My name is Beth. I'm a compulsive eater and the facilitator for this workshop of Bonebridge members attending the See How conference in California this July. And since this is a workshop, we're not going to have our initial readings, but we will start with a serenity prayer. And I know in face-to-face workshops, a seventh tradition is taken. They pass the basket to celebrate recovery and honor that. So if you'd like to consider giving a seventh tradition, you can use PayPal or you can send in your contribution to our PO Box, and all that information is on our website. So the format is going to consist of actually five speakers, probably, and there'll be an absence of six. If there's extra time, I could share my experience since I attended. But just based on timing, each person is going to have about 15 minutes to share their experience, strength, and hope. And that's going to take us up until an hour and a half of sharing. And then the last half an hour, we'll have about 30 minutes to ask any questions. And any of the panelists who are on the line can answer those questions. And there, and anybody can ask a question. There are no absent requirements to ask a question. All of our speakers have 6 months of abstinence, and the leader for these facilitations, me, I think we need a year of back-to-back abstinence. I have about 4 years, so just putting out those qualifications. So I'm going to go ahead and open with a serenity prayer, and then our first speaker will be Yais.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I cannot, and the wisdom to withhold the difference of the difference.
I will, not mine,
be done. Not mine, be done. Amen.
Okay, the line is clear, and Yaisha, you'll have 14 minutes, and then I'll say 1 minute left, and then you can wrap it up.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Beth, for your beautiful service. My name is Jaisha. I came to See How in May of 2012. I started the program in Kansas City. Right now I'm living in Southern California, and I have back-to-back abstinence and recommitted abstinence of April of 2013, and today is a perfect day for me to share this. I found a fellowship after trying two other fellowships and feeling like either or was either extreme of how to work recovery. And I sat down in a little studio that I lived then, and I said to my higher power, there must be someone who probably had the idea of making a middle way or middle ground between these two, and I need you to please guide me. So things started to go not well at that place, and I ended up moving closer to my job, 25 minutes away from where I was. And one day I was walking into a church. This was a few weeks later after that prayer, and I moved a month later, a couple of weeks later after I moved in May 2012, I was going into a church that was practically in my backyard. Walking into the church to go to a meeting of another fellowship I also belong. And there was a sign on the door that said, in pink, which was my favorite color, See How Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How meeting tonight. And I was like, what? I thought that the other how was the only how there was. What is this? What are these people? And I walked in, and I stayed for a month just listening. I didn't do anything, just listen. And there was so much reassurance and so much love, and also it was discipline with gentleness and compassion, which was exactly what I was looking for, that I thought could, or felt that could heal me. I spent a year and a half between the previous fellowship and this one, eating at home or carrying my food and not buying any food from restaurants or anything that didn't come from my kitchen. That is how much discipline I needed, even though I didn't have a lot of weight to lose. I had a lot of emotional turmoil that I would process with the food. So I really needed the discipline because one aspect of the disease fed the other one. The emotional side fed the wanting to bring, you know, eat food, overeat, and then the overeating brought more emotional turmoil. So the emotional turmoil was much difficult to handle. So the food part had to be the part that I could, you know, put a stop to. The phone bridge has helped me a lot at the beginning because I needed so much support and during relapses. I slipped and slid so many times during my first 30 days, and I hear this not an uncommon story because, you know, we're trying to do something that's kind of the opposite of what we're used to do, and surrendering to a higher power whom we don't even know who that is. So I did relapse a lot, and even 6 months or 8 months into abstinence, and see how back-to-back, 7 months probably, I relapsed for 6 weeks. And I received so much support during that time. You know, there was so many people that called, and at many meetings that I went to, there were topics about relapse or some readings that were shared, even though I couldn't speak because I was an abstinence. I stay after the meeting, and the people that stayed in the parking lot, as I call it, the meeting after the meeting, they were so supportive. I don't know if I could have made it without the phone bridge. I think I'll come back to that a little bit later, but this just moves me to share how important it is to contribute to the phone bridge to stay alive. I have to confess I've not contributed as much as I would like to, especially after how the phone bridge has helped me, but it is very important to donate, even if I think I'm given just a little amount of money. Everything counts. Everything is important because it is very vital to maintain it functioning. I had a great opportunity of going to the convention, and it moved me in a very special way because after recovering, it's been hard for me to attend social events and not feel exposed. Like before, I would drink or eat to numb myself to the fact that I felt like an outsider in any social group. So it can be intimidating after starting to go out into the world again. But at the convention, I felt that there were people that were like me. I mean, it was so, I felt so grateful that when there was a buffet, I went Friday and Saturday, and I saw the Friday night speaker, and before that there was a dinner, and there was a buffet, and the people that were serving the food put some cups and scales so we could measure and weigh it. And that was so, and everybody was doing it. So it felt so supportive. I was part of this group and everybody was doing what I do, and they got it. They got that I needed to do that. I was not alone. I was not in a room full of people, and I was the only one measuring my food. I also, after that year and a half eating at home or carrying my food everywhere and eating only what I weighed and measured, I found a sponsor who taught me. I found a sponsor who taught me how to let go of my obsession with perfectionism a little bit, because the truth is that even though I didn't need that type of discipline in the beginning, as I recovered and I walked the next steps, I didn't know how to trust myself that I could let go a little bit of the scale in the cups if I was out in public to share with other people, and trust that I could eyeball the food. And that was hard. And I found support in the phone bridge with people that have been in program for a long, long time who are able to do that and measure and weigh very precisely, like eyeballing. So I had to learn how to do that. I practiced at home. I would eyeball the food and then waited to see how close I was. And I was pretty close because I had been doing it for a year and a half. So this sponsor really supported me in trusting myself. He would say over and over again, I trust you. And once the food is on the plate, forget about if it's everything is in there, just enjoy it and enjoy people's company. And that was the next stage for my recovery, because even though I was with other people now and enjoying fruit from a buffet or something that I had way eyeballed it using the scoop in the salad bar or the food bar, I still, you know, had the ruminating in my head, is it okay? Am I doing this right, etc. He helped me overcome that little voice. I honor the people that carry the scale and the cups everywhere. I still do that sometimes. I had yesterday, I carried my scale to a place I usually go every week to worship, and they have food afterwards. I just had the need to carry it with me yesterday, and I did, you know, and people were looking at it like funny, but and now I'm like, you know, that doesn't bother me anymore that as much. I have learned that there are ways to order my food in restaurant with friends and be abstinent and enjoy other people's company, as I shared before. So that's been a jewel that I also got from the life sponsor that I had, face-to-face sponsor, who actually walked in with me to salad bars and restaurants to show me, and that was so special. And the convention was special for me because I got to see people with more time than me in the program, being comfortable with themselves, participating in the talent show. And yeah, it was so much fun to see that they could share from their heart, their singing, their poetry, their dancing, and that just we could just be together and have fun. We just celebrated life. We celebrated our abstinence. It was so special to meet the person whose voices I hear in the phone bridge, in the line, to put a face and give a hug to the ones who take my calls and share their stories and say thank you to them. Some of these encounters were very special, people that always pick up or almost always pick up the phone, and they were there when I was going through hard times, not only relapse with food, but maybe emotional relapses or difficulty with relationships. They always picked up the phone, and I just got to say thank you personally and give them a hug. And also some of these encounters were of people that thanked me because I was among the ones who kept calling them when they had stepped out of the program and they came back to program. So I had one woman was very emotional. She was, you know, she moved her to tears to hug me because she said, you kept calling me. And I said, well, sure, some people kept calling me, you know. This is how we pass it on. So it was very special. She was so happy. And I, you know, some of the people with this lady that happened, when she laughed out loud, I could relate to the laughter that I heard over the phone. It was so special to meet her. And I was gladly surprised to meet some of the faces that I hear constantly on the phone, the ones that I always participate in the very early morning meetings and or go to more than one phone bridge meeting a day, and that was very special. The keynote speaker for Friday evening really shared from her heart, at least that's how I felt it, and I'm sure everybody else did, but her story got to my heart, and that's what I mean to say. Her story was incredible, and it moved me very deeply. I can still remember her share and the impact it had on me, because she was homeless, and not because of alcohol or because of drugs. She was homeless because of her food addiction. And that was, she used to be before coming into recovery. And that was shocking, you know, that this disease is a real threat for life and for people's well-being. And I learned with her that it is okay to carry a lunch bag every day. Even when I know there's going to be abstinent food where I'm going, I don't leave the responsibility of my program and my way of handling food in anybody else's hands. And that is mine and my higher powers to take care of. For example, again, yesterday I carried my scale and I carried a bowl of food for either lunch or dinner. Even though I knew that the place I was going to be, they were going to have food, I had my scale, something told me, a little voice told me, you know, pack up a bowl of food, pack up a bowl of afternoon food. And I did, and it turned out that the day was longer than I expected, so I was on the road still, very hungry for dinner, and on the way to the grocery store, and I was not going to walk I never walk again into the grocery store hungry. I never do that anymore. So I ate my dinner before walking in. So the little voice in my head, which is my higher power's voice, is turning into a bigger voice every day, was right. You know, I listen to those things now. And through the phone bridge, I have found wonderful sponsors, people that by sharing their experience, strength, and hope had the capacity to keep me on track or to bring me back from a relapse. The people who have sponsored me have given me not only the map to work the program, but also strong tools for life. I think the most important lesson I have learned through the phone bridge wisdom is to try to be as authentic as I can. My disease has had the effect of sometimes turning me into an inauthentic or phony person. And it is taking a long time to shed the selfishness that was making me suffer so much. So this program has done that with a lot of kindness and compassion, which is difficult. Usually before, when I was suffering, I would walk into a spiritual place or something, and or a course how to open the doors to your ego and have a better life and dare to do new things and stuff like that. But I experienced a lot of forceful programming, I guess, so to speak, and sometimes there wasn't kindness. In this program, through repetition and gentleness and discipline, have discipline, but also be very gentle with yourself, you know, be soft to yourself.
Yes, sir. One minute.
Thank you. So I was already suffering when I came to program, and I didn't need any further judgment, and the people in the phone bridge were among the ones who have helped me the most by letting me know relapse was part of the lesson. And I was still loved, accepted, and welcomed, and they expected me to come back again and again. If it were not for the phone bridge, I don't know if I'd be abstinent today, because during my six-week relapse in 2013 before recommitment day, I called the phone bridge every day, sometimes the whole day, went to all the meetings because I couldn't hear the voices in my head. I needed to hear the healing and the recovery. So the convention was a beautiful way of celebrating that, celebrating the people who have helped me recover, and I do hope to come back. And thanks to Beth for organizing this and for letting me share. It's been very special. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Aisha, for your share. Our next speaker will be Ginger.
Good afternoon. And Beth, could you please give me, when there's 5 minutes, and then 2 minutes?
Yes, I'll do my best.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, okay, great. Okay, good afternoon or good morning, depending upon where you are situated right now. My name is Ginger B. from Phoenix, and I am a compulsive eater. There is no doubt in my mind I am a compulsive eater. I have tried what the big book says, to go out and eat like a normal person a multitude of times, and I never could do it. I always got back into the food, and I was not a happy person. I came in to see how February 23rd, 2011, that's 4 years and 202 days, and through the grace of God, I've been blessed with abstinence for that time. And I live in Phoenix, Arizona, and Phoenix is about a 5 or 6 hour drive from L.A., and L.A. is where the conventions have been since I started going in 2011. I joined CHOW in February of 2011 to lose 10 pounds for my son's wedding. I had been in our sister program since 1989. For 22 years, I tried to figure out what I needed to do to work the program, but it wasn't until I came to CHOW that I heard I needed to surrender, that the tools, steps, and traditions were not suggested, rather they were required. I had a spiritual awakening on a phone bridge meeting where I finally got that I could hang up my uniqueness and do what everyone else was asked to do. And that first summer, a friend of mine, so when I found CHOW, I was ecstatic, and I started calling all of my friends in the sister program who I knew were struggling, that really hadn't found serenity. And I told them about CHOW. And one of those friends just had purchased a new car, and she traveled a lot on business. So she had hotel points, and she said, Ginger, let's go to the convention because it won't cost, blah, 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 you know, anyway. And so we got in her new convertible and drove over to L.A. And had a marvelous trip. We brought abstinent food with us, and we did a little bit of sightseeing before we went to the convention. Now, when I was in my sister program, I had done service above the meeting level. I had never been a delegate, but I did hold offices at the intergroup level. So I had been to conventions, so I had seen people, give service at all different levels. And when I walked into the embassy suites where our convention was held, I just heard joyous laughter coming from all over and excitement, and the people at registration were so welcoming. And we were given white bandanas. Now, if you are on PhoneBridge, when you register, that's what they give you. And you're asked to carry it or wear it with you in any manner just to identify yourself as a PhoneBridge person. And that is the greatest thing, because then people look at you and say, what meetings do you do? Or they look at you and they see your name, or they hear your voice, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, look at, you're here, and I would recognize that voice anywhere. And, just the big hugs and the enthusiasm, that in itself was enough to give me a reason to come back the next year for the convention. But what I saw at the convention was even more, and I want to say something else about that white bandana. I am an exercise enthusiast. I do long distance biking, I do weights, I do hiking, and so I wear a bandana a lot. And that white bandana, and I have a drawer full of bandanas, all colors. Okay, a little embellishment. I have a lot of whatever. But I do have a lot of bandanas. And that white bandana that I got at my first convention is the softest bandana of all. And so I wear it whenever I have an opportunity. And I like the analogy of that white bandana is what See How is to me, what PhoneBridge is to me, what the convention is to me. Because I use it to protect my body for some reason. Maybe it's going to be for sweat. Maybe it's going to be for wind, dust, cold, whatever. But I put it around me, and it helps me to function in any environment, and it's soft. And I love See How because I think See How is a very caring, passionate program. I think the members of See How really take the time to get to know each other. You know, we do that with our outreach calls, with sharing at meetings, etc. And I like to be reminded of that all the time. So when I came to that first convention, I was on fire. I went to as many workshops I could. I looked at the people volunteering, and I thought, what could I do? You know, because I am a joiner. My mother always taught me that if you're going to belong to something, you better do something to help it, or it's not going to be there. So, you know, that was like, okay, well, this is something I can do. And like the previous speaker mentioned, there were, they had the fashion show, they have workshops all day, they have speakers at lunch, they have speakers in the evening, they have a closing speaker. Friday night you have the fashion show. Friday night you have a talent show. Saturday night you have a fashion show. And then you have a dance. And it's just amazing. So that first year, I met a woman on PhoneBridge who wanted to get together a choir. Now, I have a choir voice. I do not have a solo voice. And I thought, why not? And you needed 6 months of abstinence, and I think I had 6 months. And if I didn't, I didn't know about it. Okay, so anyway, so I got to be in this choir, and it was so much fun. We sang at the talent show, and we sang impromptu during some of the workshops. And when you go to the convention, you get to meet one of our co-founders, this wonderful woman, tiny little woman, and every time she talks, she always says, "You are all so beautiful." And, you know, she just instills in us that we need to protect our program so it doesn't get watered down, but we need to be loving and kind to everyone, including ourselves. And all of that is phenomenal. So we sang for her a special at one of the workshops, and that was fun, too. So when you go somewhere, you can decide, am I going to sit in the background and take it all in? Or am I going to be involved? And you know what? Everybody is different, and everybody can do it the way they want to be. But one of the things that we have at the convention is we have a meet and greet for PhoneBridge people on Friday and Saturday night. And they're hosted by, you know, people from PhoneBridge, and the hosted in different manners. And so some people will have icebreaker games or, you know, activities to do. Some people had little presents for people, games to play, you got prizes. And some people it was just, hey, come on in and sit and talk. And, you know, each one that I went to was marvelous because it was an opportunity to get to know the people on the PhoneBridge just a little better. And when you do the workshops, you know, you have breakout sessions, and when you have your lunches and your breakfast and your dinner, you have opportunities to meet new people. And before I went to that first convention, the woman who was doing the choir, who was a PhoneBridge woman, she said, "Now, Ginger, you bring your camera and you take pictures of everybody and you put those on your phone and blah, blah, blah." And I did have a phone that I could take pictures. And so that first year, I was just going up to every single person I met. "Hi, I'm Ginger. You know, blah, where are you from? Can I take your picture?" And most people were okay with it. You know, one or two people weren't, and that was okay. But now when someone calls me, because anytime anyone calls me, I put their name in my phone so that if we ever talk again and it rings, I'll know who it is. But if I met you at a convention or a retreat or an assembly, then I might have your picture. And what a gift that is, because my memory, it's like, you know, how many Marys do I know? How many Judys do I know? But if I have a Judy with a picture, it's like, oh, that Judy, great. And, you know, it's just so much fun. So I had mentioned that I had been in our sister program and gone to other conventions. And one of the things that I saw in my sister program, and I'm trying not to be judgmental and just factual, was that many of the people in the leadership roles were morbidly obese. And they had been in program for years and years and years. And it just didn't sit right with me. And when I walked into the
See How 5 minutes
yes.
left.
Thank you, Beth. When I walked into the See How convention, and I had the pleasure of meeting many, many people, you didn't see morbid obesity. And you saw people who were in recovery, and they had normal-sized bodies. And that was attractive to me, as was everyone's enthusiasm and their joy and their laughter. And so on the way home, now I was with a friend who was a program friend and also a friend from my neighborhood. And on the way back, I said, oh, I can't wait to be an intergroup rep. Because in order to do this, you know, there were other positions I had on the radar. You have to be an intergroup rep for so long. Anyway, and she looked at me and she said, Ginger, why do you always feel like you need to do anything? Like, she was like telling me, and she used these words and not verbatim, that I can't be happy just being there. I have to be, like I was being controlling, and that I take things really personally, and so if someone, I have a discussion and someone says something, I can take offense very easily, and, you know, that can cause me to eat. And I really pondered what she said, and when I came home, I talked to my sponsor, who is still my sponsor today, and she just kind of guided me and said, you know, Ginger, trust your heart. Trust that God will lead you where you need to go, and that the service you do, he will help you with. And so I came back. I did become an intergroup. I was able to hold a position, one of the service positions of the executive board for almost 4 years, and I've had the honor of stepping up to area and WSO service through the gift of God. And, you know, it's like being afraid to say yes to service. At the convention, there's no way the convention could operate unless people volunteer. And when you register, they ask you, what area do you want to volunteer in? You know, you can't just go there and expect to totally be fed. You have to do some of the footwork. And so you get to help. How do you help? Do you help with registration? Do you help taking tickets? Do you help with the boutique? You know, do you help with the literature sales? Do you help with the raffle? Are you going to be in the fashion show? You know, all of those things, there's so many ways to volunteer. And that's the beauty of this program, is that people suit up and they show up, and our higher power puts the right people all together, you know, mixes us all up, and we have this wonderful opportunity to have a convention where we get to be fed and we get to have our program become stronger. And I know I'm getting towards the end of my share, and so I just would like to encourage everyone to think about going to the convention. And if you can't do that, think about going to your area assembly. Think about going to your retreats. This weekend there's one in Michigan. You know, all of these ways we get to increase our fellowship, we get to strengthen our program, and we get to be shining beacons, because that's really what we are. Our bodies are temples of the Spirit, and if we do see how, and if we incorporate the tools, steps, and traditions in our everyday actions, then we are spreading the word of our higher
Ginger,
power.
Ginger, 1 minute left.
Great. And one of the, you know, in our 12 and 12, there is the prayer on the 11th step, and it's written by Francis of Assisi. Some people call him a saint. And one of the things he said, preach the, and I don't want to use this next word because I don't want to crosstalk, and use words if necessary. So you're going to preach the word of our higher power, and if necessary, use words. We don't need to use words to spread the message of See How. We just need to live it in our lives, and people will want what we have. And so thank you so very much for letting me share some of my excitement. I had a lot more written down that I didn't even touch on, but I love See How. I love the phone bridge. I love the convention. I really enjoy giving service with a smile. And I'm grateful that I get to be a part of this workshop today. So my name is Ginger B. My number is 602-423-3496, 602-423-3496, and that is Pacific Time. Thank you, Beth, for organizing this workshop, and thank you to our workshop chair. With that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Ginger, for your share. And the next person we have to share will be Margaret.
Oh, hi. Thank you, Beth. My name is Margaret, and I am a very grateful compulsive eater. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you. And do you want me to just give you 1 minute at the end?
Yeah, that's fine. How much time do I have?
About 15 to 20 minutes.
Wow.
Okay. Give you 15. Everybody's gone 15, so but we're doing really well on time.
Okay, that's fine. That's
so
fine.
At 14, I'll say 1 minute.
Okay, thank you. Just to qualify, I have been in program for 17 years, but I have a recommitted abstinence of 2 years and 40 days. And, you know, as I said, I am very grateful. And thank you for putting this workshop together. Thank you for asking me to be of service. And what I would like to do is just tell you, I thought of this right before the workshop started, something that it was what I was like many, many, many years ago. And I hadn't thought of this in some time, but it's one of those things that I get to remember that is gone. It's a feeling that I used to have that I no longer have about myself, and that is self-loathing. When I was in my 20s, you know, I've always had a weight problem, and I didn't know that I was a compulsive eater. I just thought I didn't have enough willpower to stay on a diet. And so when I was in my 20s, one of my coworkers was getting married, and I lived in my head, I lived in fantasy, and I fantasized about what I was going to wear to this wedding, and instead of facing reality, and when it came time for the wedding, I couldn't go because I felt so awful about myself that I just knew, you know, it was all about me, and I just knew I was going to be ridiculed, and, you know, those were my biggest fears then, and you know, I didn't realize it until after the fact that my friend was very disappointed that it really had nothing to do with me. It was her day, and I didn't show up. So, and I wanted to tell that story because it really ties in with my experience at the convention. You know, I've been to two of the conventions. I went this last year and the year before, and the first one that I attended, it was a last-minute decision, and I drove down. I live in the central coast of California, so I drove to Los Angeles on early Saturday morning and spent all day Saturday and Sunday till the end. And I was like a kid. I'm sorry to use this analogy, but I was like a kid in a candy store. You know, I from the minute I got there, you know, there were people I used to go to the See How retreat in San Juan Capistrano, and it had been years. But there were people there that I recognized from the retreats. But it was mostly meeting the people from the phone bridge meetings, because I am in an area where we no longer have face-to-face meetings, and so the phone bridge has been my mainstay. Thank God for the phone bridge meetings. And so I was at the convention, the Saturday luncheon panel, and after the panel, all the people on the panel had spoken and told their stories, they did questions and answers. And from across the room, I couldn't see this person, someone asked a question, and I immediately recognized her voice. And so I kind of stood up and looked across the room, but I couldn't really see. And so I couldn't wait for the meeting to be over so I could, you know, rush to the other side of the room, because the person who had spoken was my first sponsor that I had gotten on the phone bridge when I recommitted. And I didn't know what she looked like, but I definitely knew her voice. And you know, it chokes me up to this day, because as far as I'm concerned, she saved my life. She's one of the people who saved my life. And so, you know, I too, like the previous speaker, thank you to both the speakers. I really enjoyed what you had to say. But I too, like the previous speaker, you know, we took photos of one another. So when we made outreach calls to each other, her beautiful face comes up on my phone, and, you know, and it just gives me a smile starts from the inside, you know. And then the other experience I had on Saturday night, and this was not this past convention, it was the one from a year ago. It was the banquet, and I was sitting at a table with people that I had met and my friends that I was rooming with, and there was a woman that I was looking for, and you know, the story about that is, you know, like I said, I've been in this program 17 years, and what happens for me is my insane thinking comes back, and it's usually because, you know, I'm not being rigorously honest with what I'm eating, or I am not making my outreach calls and I feel guilty about it. You know, it's just I stopped working the tool just a little bit at a time, and what creeps back in is that insanity. And I, you know, I'm a compulsive eater, and so the insanity starts long before I take that first bite. And I was in a period of time where I was not in program, but I thought I was still really, like, following the food plan. Not exactly, but anyway. And so I just got to that place again where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I knew I was fooling myself. And I made an outreach call to someone I felt safe with in CHOW, and I asked her a simple question. And she gave me this answer. That when she gave me the answer, her answer, the light bulb came back on for me. You know, I was able to see clearly in that moment and know that where I needed to be was back in CHOW. And so I got on a phone bridge meeting, and that was when I recommitted to over 2 years ago. So I couldn't wait to meet her. We have made outreach calls to one another, and she's just one of those people I have just adored. And so I'm sitting at the banquet, sitting at the table, eating my abstinent dinner, and one of my friends said, "There's the woman you've been wanting to meet," because she knew her from previous conventions. And so I stood up, and she was talking to someone and had her back to me, and I didn't want to interrupt, so I waited. And as soon as she turned around, I just wrapped my arms around her, and she started laughing and said, "Who is this?" And then she knew, you know, within a moment she knew. But anyway, so the first experience I had at my first convention was all about meeting the people that I had been talking to on the phone bridge. And I just, there wasn't a moment I didn't enjoy. And so I knew, I was hooked. I knew I was going to be at the next convention. So I planned, as soon as I knew it was, you know, the reservations were available, I made my reservation. And so, and I wanted to give back what I had been given. So I wanted to be of service. So I volunteered to do some service things. And one of the things, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I so enjoyed the fashion show the year before. And I can't remember, I think maybe I saw it on the, or somebody announced it at a phone bridge meeting that, you know, to call, you know, this person who was in, you know, the committee chair for the fashion show. And I thought, I want to do that. Now, that's why I told you that story in the beginning of my share. See, that's how far I've come. You know, I no longer fantasize about looking good. I feel good from the inside, and I know what comes out from the inside shows on the outside. I look good because I've cleared away all that self-loathing. And the only way I can do that is in this program, you know, from working the steps and being sponsored and using the tools every day, going to meetings, being a part of the fellowship. That's, you know, and having a higher power that works in my life today. That's why I could volunteer to participate in the fashion show and feel good enough. Okay, that was the beginning. And so, it's really funny to me because, you know, I have a higher power that loves to, you know, I want to say trick me, but it's never the way I think it's going to be. You know, I was excited about the fashion show. I was excited about the dress I was going to wear and, you know, the outfit that I put together because I can do that today. You know, I love to dress up now. And when people say to me, "Oh, you're dressed up," and they'll say, "Ask me why." And they'll say, "Why?" And I say, "Because I can." You know, CHOW has enabled me to be a beacon, like the previous speaker said, you know. And most of the people that know me in the area where I am, I'm in other 12-step programs, know where I come from. So, but anyway, so I volunteered to be in the fashion show, and what I didn't know is that, you know, once again, it wasn't about me. You know, when I was sitting at the Saturday night banquet, I was at a table with other participants in the fashion show, and they told me their stories. And I got to be a part of their recovery and their excitement about being in the fashion show. And, you know, there was none of this. I never felt any competitive feeling or from anyone. Everyone was supportive and excited for everyone else in the fashion show. It was such a camaraderie and such a wonderful feeling. You know, it's something I will have for you know, forever. And that was a gift. That was a gift. But there were so many things about this particular convention that was different for me. I woke up Saturday morning, and I think I was just really exhausted from the trip down, and but, you know, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And I had to get quiet and go to a quiet place because I was practicing a character defect, and that was the character defect of judgment. And I was judging outsides with insides. And I had to get quiet and go to a place where, you know, I could ask really, really wholeheartedly to have that character defect removed so I could enjoy the convention. And, you know, it worked. I had the experience of not only connecting with new people, but there were some people that I've known in my area when we had face-to-face meetings that were also attending this convention. And one of these women, we live in the same town, and I'm in a small town, and I don't get to see her very often. Every once in a while, she'll make an outreach call, or I'll outreach her. But she called me at the last minute before the convention and said she really wanted to go. And, you know, I was so happy that she had made the decision to, you know, to be at the convention. And so right after I had that quiet time with my higher power, I got to sit and talk with her and catch up, and it was just wonderful. It was a reconnection and a bonding that I didn't know I was going to have, so I was very grateful for that. And also, I went to the meet and greet, and they were so fun, but it was funny because there wasn't that many people in the meet and greet that I had made outreach calls to. That was really amazing. So, and also I participated in a workshop, and it was wonderful to be a part of that. And through that, you know, I'm one of those people, I really always think I'm an extrovert, but, you know, there's times that I'm really, you know, quite shy. And so I have to force myself at times to, you know, put myself out there when I'm in a large group of people like a convention. You know, sometimes it becomes overwhelming and I have to go back to my room and spend some quiet time. But so what I did was I made myself reach out and talk to people that I had never seen before that were not Foambridge people. But, you know, they were there because they too were recovering compulsive eaters like myself, and I wanted to know more about them. And so I got to do that, and now I had more people to outreach. So that was really wonderful, too. I made notes because I have a really convenient forgetter.
Margaret, 1 minute left.
Oh, perfect. Let's see. The participating in the convention was, you know, and being of service to the program that has given me, and I wrote this down because it's really how I feel today, that has given me the deep inward changes and the happiness and contentment that I have today. I woke up this morning and I said to someone I cared really deeply about that, you know, we were watching something on TV, and it was about the rich people and their houses they were showing. And I said, you know, that's not something I aspire to have. You know, I can't believe that anyone else could be any happier than I feel in this moment. And all of that is a direct result of showing up to this program one day at a time. So thank you, Beth, for asking me to be a part of this workshop. And I hope that I have, you know, given some enthusiasm to anyone who is thinking about going to our next convention, because I know I'm not going to miss it. So Thanks, everybody, and have a great abstinent day.
Thanks, Margaret. Would you leave your phone number, please?
Oh, sure. I'm in Pacific Standard Time. My number is 805-772-5668. 805-772-5668.
Thank you. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, so far who shared. Our next speaker is Suzanne.
Thank you, Beth. I'm here.
Yep. Great. And how would you like to be talking?
Oh, give me a two-minute warning.
2 minutes?
Yeah.
At 13 minutes. Great. I will do that.
Okay. Well, well, first of all, thank you, Beth, for asking me to speak, and thank you for your service. And I am Suzanne. I'm a grateful compulsive eater. And I have been absent since April 6, 2003, and I would like to say that I've been to every single convention since being abstinent, but that has not been the case. I had 3 years of absence in another program from 1995 to 1998 in Mexico, and I did go to two of their conventions, and the person that had started that program was of the mindset that if you go to the convention, it's you ought to be immersed. So if you don't stay at the hotel and you aren't there, you're not there. And so if we couldn't go and stay at the hotel, we were asked to go to the opening luncheon on Friday and the closing luncheon on Sunday. Other than that, if you weren't staying at the hotel, it was a no-go. So because I knew that I couldn't do that, and I totally understand why, because one of the conventions in Mexico was in the city that I lived in. I knew. Had I not stayed at the hotel, I would have missed half of it for tons of reasons, because life happens. So I understand why that person was of that mindset. So having that in mind, when I came in to see AHOW and I knew there was a convention, I knew that someone is unmuted, I think. Yeah, because I hear background noise. Having that in mind, I knew that I couldn't go and be at the convention all 3 days. Even if I didn't stay at the hotel, I knew that it's really good to be there. I started each day until it ended at night. And because I was caring for my mom, that was not going to be the way it was. And so I just didn't even think about the convention. After being in the program a couple of years, someone from the phone bridge actually went to my face-to-face meeting Saturday morning and shared, and they said, if there's anybody here that does foam bridge, I have a bandana. Maybe this is the third year of my abstinence. And I'm like, oh, my God, I do foam bridge. There weren't any foam bridge meetings, and I recognized this person, and I went over, and she gave me a bandana, which I still have this day. And I don't think I got to the convention that year. I think it was the first year of the foam bridge. You know, I don't know if I went the year before for a minute or not, but I'll tell you my experiences, and I don't remember which order they were in. The first time I'd gone to my Saturday morning meeting, and my friend, who, thank God, because of her, I've been able to do lots of great things in my life, like go to a friend's wedding that was in, an hour away from where I live. But anyway, she said, why don't we go to the Saturday morning meeting, and we go to the convention for a couple of hours? And I said, we can do that. We don't have to be there all day. And she said, oh, no, we can go for a couple of hours, because she knew that I cared for my mom. And I said, I can do that. So we went to the face-to-face meeting, and then we went to the convention. And I don't even remember what workshop. You know, I paid my registration fee, and we went to a workshop or two. And then the next year, same thing happened. She says, well, let's go for a while, even if we go half a day. So we went. And I think by the time we got there, because I forgot why, it was about lunchtime. And this was at a time when the convention was smaller. It's smaller than it is now. And so the people at registration wanted to go eat. And they said, well, if you sit at the registration table, you can get a free lunch. And, of course, I was new to all this, and I did not do service above the meeting level. So I'm like, well, we'll just sit here. And I'm like, what can I do? I just sit here. I can't really do much more. But my friend said, yeah, we'll sit here. Go have lunch. You know, we don't need a free lunch. So they got like a half an hour. We sat there. And I remember a newcomer came, and I was able to talk to the newcomer. That I was able to do, talk to the newcomer. Someone asked me, which way was the bathroom, and I didn't know exactly, but I kind of knew which way it was that way. What time is the luncheon? Well, I knew that. But basically, the highlight of my day, well, there were a couple of them, is that I did speak to a newcomer that was really nervous. I got to do that. And then when the people that were manning the registration table came back, they said, go have lunch. And so my friend and I went in, and we got to hear a speaker, which was great. And to this day, I think I know who it was, but I was kind of in awe. And I sat next to somebody, and they're talking about body image, and it was a bit overwhelming because I was not expecting to go into a luncheon and hear a speaker. I don't know. I wasn't mentally prepared. Who knows what my wacky thinking was, but it was overwhelming because I wasn't really prepared for it. But it was wonderful. Wonderful speaker. I met a couple of nice people. And then it was later, the next year, my sponsor said, well, you know, they really shouldn't have done that because everybody has to pay registration and you shouldn't have had the free lunch. And I said, look, I didn't ask for it. They just said, go have the free lunch. What did I know? I took direction. Someone said, you go, you were here, you helped us, you get a free lunch. I'm like, okay. And, you know, it was later that I learned, yes, we pay registration. I had paid registration all the other two previous times I'd gone, but because this time I'd gotten there and I hadn't done any workshops. Well, anyway, that's just what happened. And then one of my sponsees was like, well, I want to be in the talent show, but I have to pay registration. And so then we talked about that, and I'm like, well, yeah, it makes sense because this is a fundraiser for our fellowship. And if everybody was going to be in the talent show, didn't have to pay, then everybody would want to be in the talent show so they get a free dinner and a free registration. So, I mean, we had that conversation. It was wonderful. And, it, you know, the next year, I think it was another year, I went. I paid my registration like a good girl, and it was my friend, and we went for like 3 hours, and I got to hear a wonderful workshop. And the next workshop, it was about something, and it was great, and then a friend of ours came in and said, you got to go to this other workshop. So-and-so is sharing with so-and-so, and it's all about this great stuff. And so we got yanked out of that workshop, which I felt bad. But then we got to this other workshop, and I'm glad I went to the other workshop. I'm glad I got to go to both. It's like if I could cut myself in half, but I couldn't, but I'm glad I went to the second workshop. It has helped me later on in my recovery. And so then for a couple, I don't think I went to the last couple of years my mom was alive. I don't think I went. I don't think I got to go. But then when my mom passed away, I wanted to really go to the convention and immerse myself, but I could not. My mom died May 3rd, and I was going to have surgery, I think, the day of the convention, and I could not postpone it. It had been a surgery I'd been waiting for, and the doctor said, you cannot postpone the surgery unless it's some life-threatening thing. You can't have surgery. Other than that, please don't postpone it because I don't know if you'll ever get to have it. And so my sponsor said, you've been waiting for this a long time. It's okay. So the first year, right after my mom passed away, I didn't get to go to the convention. But the next year, I went. And a sponsor came in from out of town and stayed with me. So I got to go Friday. I got to go to the meet and greet. It was during Carmageddon here when the freeway was closed down. And we flew down the freeway. I got to West LA to El Segundo, California, I think in 15 minutes on a Friday afternoon, because everybody either left town or they're at home scared or something. But Friday afternoon, we made it there in 15 minutes, man. And so I got to participate Friday. I got to go in and hear the speaker Friday night because all the tickets for the dinner had been sold out. A couple months in advance, mind you. I couldn't get tickets. But I was able to go in and listen to the speaker, though I didn't have a ticket. I waited, you know, they waited for people to eat, and afterwards I was able to go and hear the speaker. We went back the next day, and we were there. I don't remember if I heard the speaker that night. And then we went back for the closing speaker. And that on that That was really very emotional for me because that is when I got to meet a lot of people, and it was always a surprise. Oh, you're here. I didn't know you were coming, and lots of hugs and crying. I cried at the convention a few times, and even though it was my first, quote-unquote, full convention of sorts, I didn't get to one workshop. I was in the hospitality room. So that was the first time I volunteered to be officially a volunteer. And I gave hand massages in the hospitality room. And for a number of reasons, which does not matter here, that's other than going to the speaker at the dinner, that's basically where I was. And that's okay. That was a great experience. So this year was a little different also. Oh, so I became a delegate, I don't know, 3 years ago. So you stay at the hotel as of Wednesday night. So by the time the convention starts Friday, I've already been there for 2 days. And I'm a person, I need my sleep. I can function with 2 or 3 days, 2 days with not enough sleep. But by the third day, I'm like dragging. So, you know, and I've been very blessed to have wonderful roommates when I have stayed. I first started staying for the convention at the hotel the second full year that I was doing convention. I roomed with a sponsee for a couple of years during the convention. It was great to spend time with her, even though that we're from the same city, and you're fully immersed. And so this time, I roomed with a delegate from Area 10, from the Spanish Bone Bridge, a woman who's perfectly bilingual, as am I, and I've never spent a lot of time with her, although I did meet her a couple of years ago. She roomed with a friend of mine at the convention, so I met her face-to-face. But what a wonderful experience. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And I will say this, as much as I know some people here on the phone bridge that I have not met yet, something happens once you can hug that person and spend time with them. There's a bond there. And I think in a lot of ways I have bonded more with people from the phone bridge that I've met and stayed in contact with than, for the most part, not completely, than the people I know from my face-to-face meeting, with the exception of maybe 10 people. With 10 people, I still have that connection, even if I don't see them very often. But for the most part, the greater connection is here on the phone bridge, people that I've met. It's truly amazing what happens once you get those hugs from people you've been talking to for a while. And you get to, in my case, I can't see their face, but I feel their energy. So this year I stayed, and I roomed all 4 nights with my friend from Area 10. And this year someone asked me to co-chair the workshops, and I did that. And then the person said, could you chair the workshops? And I did. And I didn't think I could do it. But I have to say, this person really did a lot of the work for me before the person stepped aside to do something else. And, you know, I've been in program long enough to know I don't have to be perfect. And it wasn't perfect, but it was great. It was what it needed to be. And I was asked to, I participated in a workshop of a committee because of a committee I'm on. And then I was asked to do a workshop in Spanish, and I'd never been asked to do a workshop in Spanish, and I had said, well, I'm doing
Suzanne,
a workshop Saturday.
Yes. 2 minutes.
Okay, thanks. Anyway, so I did it. Thanks, Beth. I'll wrap up. So I got to do a workshop Saturday, and I was hoping to do the one in Spanish Sunday morning so that I could have more time to participate, and that was not the case. But it was wonderful. I got to a workshop Sunday morning, and I was really tired, and I had actually wanted to participate in a different workshop. I wanted to go and just sit there, and somehow someone steered me to the wrong workshop, so I ended up in another one. I guess that's where I needed to be, and I have to be honest, I was really, really tired, and I really wasn't fully awake, and I felt like, I want to participate, but I'm not fully running yet, you know. I'm like, I'm trying to catch up. But it was when it was. It was beautiful. And for the first time, I participated in the talent show. I can't sing. I used to be able to dance fairly well, but I'm not a dancer. Though part of me wants to say I am, but I can't dance as well as I used to. I'm not a professional dancer. I can't sing, and I'm not a comedian, but my boyfriend had this idea to do this novelty song, and so it had to be pre-recorded. If anybody wants to hear it, please call me afterwards, and I can steer you to a place where you can hear it. But I participated, but I decided that I wanted to be a little, I did a little comedy, and I thought maybe no one will laugh, but that's okay because I do get a few laughs at my face-to-face meetings. So I thought, okay, I'll share a couple of things that made them laugh at the face-to-face meeting. So that's what I did. I had a sponsee that's been saying to me, you ought to be in the fashion show, you ought to be in the fashion show. And I said last year, I'm not comfortable yet. When I get up there, I want to be able to sashay on my 4-inch heels, and I have like 20 pairs of 4-inch heels, okay? I'm not quite there yet, but I'm getting there. But I got up there. I did my comedy shtick. I got a couple of laughs. I got quite a few laughs. But I was able to just be free and share and be artistic in doing this novelty song, which was my boyfriend's idea. We worked on it together. And for the first time, my boyfriend was at a convention, and he enjoyed himself. And he felt part of, and that was a big thing, too. So hopefully next year we'll be there, and I'll do something, a variation, perhaps, of what I did this year. But next year, maybe the convention will be in Las Vegas. I encourage anybody. Some people are not people who want to volunteer to be a chairperson. Well, that's okay. But, you know, they do ask you, are you willing to volunteer? Even if you sit at registration for 2 hours, you're giving and you're being part of, and it's really important. The organization meetings to put together the convention start a few months before the convention, and it's another great way to meet people you normally perhaps wouldn't meet because they're in different parts of the country, and you get to work with wonderful people. So then you get to the convention, you get to see, you know, be able to hug them and see them, and it's wonderful. And I would encourage anybody, please think about it. Even, you know, I said to one of my friends, well, if you can't stay at the hotel, you know, there are other hotels that are cheaper, but just come, be part of. It is so, and then we're encouraged to go back to our meetings and share our experience and encourage other people. Perhaps they couldn't go this time, but next time. And each convention that I have been going to is giving me something different. Each convention is better than the last, but that's not serving the other conventions well. I think, oh, last convention was the best ever. I can't top it. But each experience has been different on different levels of my recovery and different parts of my life. And so next year, I'm all excited about what will happen, where will it be, the new adventures I'll have. Will I just do this commitment? I don't know. Probably I will. Yes, I encourage everybody to try and get to the convention. Start saving your money now. I will leave my number if anybody wants to hear the novelty song. I think people will chuckle. I'm in Pacific time, and my number is 310-208-4311, 310-208-4311, and I want to thank you, Beth, and I want to thank every single person that has asked me to do service at the convention. It gave me much more than I could ever give. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you, Suzanne. Really appreciate your service. And our final speaker for today will be Robin. Robin, you on the line?
I am, Beth. Thank you.
Great. And how would you like to be timed?
The last 5 minutes and then 1 minute, please.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So I'm Robin, and I am very thankful to have been asked to share in this workshop. And I'm a recovering anorexic bulimic compulsive eater, very grateful for recovery, and I've been in program since December of 2010, so it'll be coming up 5 years. That just is crazy. And I've got over 4 years of abstinence. Before I came to see how I was in the sister program, I didn't know about see how, and I felt like I needed more. What I was getting out of that was not enough. I was always asking my sponsor if there was any homework or anything else I could read or anything else I could do. And I finally, there was a gentleman in that group, and he told me about Stonebridge, because I was having to drive 85 miles one way to get to the one meeting a week. But I did get free from the bulimia before I came to see how. And so it's been over 5 years since I have practiced purging by vomiting, which I really thought would kill me. And so I'm very grateful for my recovery one day at a time, only one day at a time, and only by the grace of God. And so when I first came to program, I don't think I'm probably that unique in the regard that I just wanted to lose weight, didn't really care about any of the rest of you. Just was, you know, me. How do I get control of this? All my life, you know, I was 45 or so then, and all my life I had been, as long as I could ever remember, trying to change my body shape and not happy with it, and felt very inferior, and just all my life, that was me. So that's what I came to program looking for, and I found it. I definitely found it. I found recovery. I found the answer. This is a solution. This is home for me. And my first sponsor, she would encourage me to, of course, you know, sponsor after I got my first 30 days. And so I did that. And as I stayed in program, I did come to care about other people, not just myself. And then all I had was a phone bridge. I live 120 miles from Kansas City, so that's my closest See How face-to-face meeting. And I live in a very rural area. And, you know, people will say, well, why don't you start your own meeting? Well, because if anybody ever lived in a very small town, you know, we've got just a little over 400 people, everybody knows everybody. And I just know that there would be no anonymity. And I'm not comfortable with sharing about my anorexia and bulimia with just the whole town. And that's where it would be. And so I am so thankful for Stonebridge meetings. And actually, when I thought about going to the first convention I went in 2012, I was really apprehensive about it because I didn't know if I wanted to see any of you all in real life. You know, I really liked just hearing you and you just hearing me. You weren't judging me by what I wore or, you know, anything about me. You knew me. You just knew my soul. You knew my heart. You understood who I was because I was who you were. And I felt the same way about you. I didn't know if I wanted to know what you looked like. I just was happy just knowing people's voice. And I totally had pictures of what people looked like. And it was hilarious. The very first person that I shared picture with, that we texted our picture back and forth to each other, was one of my sponsees. And I was like, no way, you cannot look like that. You know, I just was totally blown away at how different she looked than how I envisioned. And so when I thought about coming to convention and seeing all of these people not looking like what I thought they were supposed to look like, it really did kind of make me nervous. But so that first year was very overwhelming for me. Like I said, I'm a small town girl. I'd never flown before. I'm in Missouri, never flown before. I had never, seen the ocean. I had never seen the desert. I had never, there was so many things that I did that first year, so many new things. It was just unreal. And I think every one of us that have shared today have used the word overwhelming. And there was definitely points where it was overwhelming for me. And but it was a beautiful experience. I flew into Phoenix. I stayed with a friend in program. We drove across the desert to L.A. We went to the ocean. This was all first for me. And it was just beautiful. The motel, oh, my goodness, guys, it is so pretty. And, I've never been in such a nice motel before. And I walked in there, and you can't believe the plants and the fish and these waterfalls. And it's just beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. And there's this most perfect palm tree out front that I have a picture of. And it's just a beautiful experience just that way. And that first year, I had a lot of fun. I took a lot of pictures, got pictures of people to use for their contact IDs like everybody does, and that was fun. But, I did get overwhelmed. And so, this was just for the convention. I was just there for the 3 days or whatever, and there was one time that I was signed up for a workshop, and I just had to sneak off. I didn't go to that workshop. I went to my room, put on my swimsuit, and I went and sat in the hot tub. And you know what? I had that hot tub all to myself for like an hour. And I just sat there, and the sun was coming through the sunroof, and it was shining right down on me. And I just felt like, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be, I just could feel my higher power just holding me and loving me and just relaxing me, and it was just a beautiful experience. Then we drove back to Phoenix. I flew home. I had food poisoning, and I learned how to throw up in a bag, and that has been quite the thing. I've used that a couple of times since then, and it really came in handy to know that the Ziploc bags work a lot better than a ice cream bucket. And so a lot of firsts. I learned how to eat a lot differently. I was really nervous about the buffet, and then watching everybody else, it relaxed me. I can remember I was putting on one thing that, golly, you can have a mountain of because it doesn't weigh anything. And that was the first time I had ate it since I've been in program. And because I didn't know how to weigh it, I didn't know how to measure it. And everybody kept saying, no, you can have more. That stuff don't weigh anything, And I learned, I just learned so much. It was the first time I ate a few different things, foods that I probably will never eat again. That first convention, it just had some different meats and stuff. But anyway, that was a beautiful experience, and to see that, we can do this. And, to see that there was a motel staff that would cook for people like us. And it was like we were this little town. We just kind of moved in here, and we were all the same. And we were all eating the same, and it was just beautiful. Anyway, then this year I went again, and again I flew to Phoenix, and again I drove across with my friend. But this time I went earlier and spent some time with her, and then we went out, and we were both delegates this year, and so we got to go to the conference, and that was a huge experience because, now I'm there for 3 days doing that, and then when the convention starts, I'm not all worked up and overwhelmed because I've already been here. I've settled down.
You know, now I get to do the workshops. Now I get to meet the PhoneBridge people. I helped with a meet and greet that one night. I can't remember if it was Friday or Saturday.
Robin, and 5 minutes left.
Oh, wow. Thank you. So I helped with that, with the meet and greet. That was so much fun, meeting people in the PhoneBridge. The white bandanas are lovely. I love my white bandana. And just being able to see people. And there's one woman in our program, and if I said her name, I know it would just bring a smile to all of you, but she has the sweetest voice, and I always knew when I would hear her talking that she has to just be smiling. And I'm telling you, she does. She smiles the whole time she's talking, and just the sweetest woman. And she led a workshop. I got to go to it, and it was just quite the honor to be able to sit and listen to these people that have more experience than me. And I roomed with two beautiful people, and we had a great time. It was just a great time for fellowship. I would really encourage anybody to try to go. It was a hardship for me. This isn't something that my family has money for. I had never been away from home like that. I this year we just celebrated our 28th anniversary, but I had never spent more than two nights away from my husband, and that was just church retreats, you know. That was the only time I had ever, and so this is such a huge experience for me, and it's an adventure. It's this See How in my recovery has just given me this sense of self-confidence now, to where I can get on a plane. I can, you know, do all this by myself. I don't have to just not go because my husband don't want to. My husband's a homebody, and he's perfectly happy to stay right here. And that's great. That's good for him. But I it's okay for me to be perfectly happy doing what I want to do too. And program has taught me that. I'm very thankful for that. And so I would encourage anybody, you know, It does take some money, but I do believe it's well worth it. And, you know, if we just start, my first sponsor told me, you know, just start putting a little bit of money away every month, every week or whatever. And my job, the job I do, I get quite a few tips. I'm a dog groomer. Okay, so I get tips, and I just, this last whole year, I put my tip money back, and I just, all my tip money, I thought, well, this is extra money, and I just put it back, and that's what I used for my vacation part of the trip, and, you know, all the extras and stuff, the souvenirs and stuff like that, and it was just a beautiful time. I've got magnets on my refrigerator now from different states that I've been to just because of the program. I've got Iowa, where I gave my first inventory to my first sponsor. I have Arkansas, where I have a beautiful sponsee lives, and I've seen her. I have Kansas, where I went and met my sponsor one time. And, you know, I have Phoenix. I have the Grand Canyon now. We did that this summer while I was out there. And I have the ocean. I have Venice Beach. I have, you know, California, and all of these magnets are on my refrigerator only because of the program, only because of my recovery and this beautiful answer of prayer, this beautiful, beautiful answer that God has given me at this program. It's all I ever prayed for. You know, God, just give me something that works. Give me people, or even I just always would pray for a
Robin, 1 minute.
Thank you. I never dreamed there was more, you know, there were so many of us out there. And I just would pray for one person to walk through this with me. And I prayed, you know, show me what to eat. And I'll do it. You know, tell me what to eat. Tell me how much. And that's exactly what our program does. And so I am very, very blessed and just so grateful for everything, and I just love all of you. I'm so happy to be a part of PhoneBridge, and just very happy. This is definitely his home, and I'm not looking. I don't have to look any
anywhere else. And so with that, I will close, and I will read my number. I'm in Missouri Central Time. I have a Verizon phone, if that matters, and it's 660-425-5799, and my name is Robin. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robin, and thank you, everybody, for your services you've shared, for Yaisha, for Ginger, for, oh, I don't have those in front of me, so I'm blanking, for Robin, and for Suzanne, and Margaret. Thank you to all five of you. As I mentioned earlier in the announcement, it did say six speakers. I thought we'd have time for six speakers. I went to convention. I could share a little bit, but I'm going to take this time for questions and answers, and then if we have any extra time at the end, I can share about my experience. But I think it's more important for those who are on the line listening to ask questions. And any of the speakers, of the five speakers, could share. So you can take turns answering. If several of you want to answer the question, you're welcome to. Or if only one of you, that's fine too. So are there any listeners, members on the line who would like to ask a question for any of our speakers?
Hi, this is Cheryl Rose. Thank you so much, beautiful speakers. I would like to tip on the coming home experience of letting go of all of that and staying abstinent, etc. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Cheryl. Anybody want to answer that? Go ahead.
I'm sorry, this is Taisha. I didn't understand the question. Hello?
Hi, this is Cheryl Rose. After convention, I have trouble with wanting to eat. The coming home part, being tired. How do you experience that now? How do you get through that for the next couple of days of just settling back in at home?
Thanks, Cheryl.
This is Robin. I'll share on that. To me, I totally understand what you're talking about, and I know that feeling of, but to me, it's pretty much just like getting through a holiday, getting through, Christmas, or any other holiday that we do, that we eat around a lot, or stuff. It's like you make it through that day, and then the next day you're like, and you might, you find yourself feeling more vulnerable. I think it's because, you made it, you accomplished your goal of not doing it on that day, and then you think, you let your guard down. So I just, just pray extra about it, and just know that, this is just another day again, and we're just going to keep doing this, and then we're going to go to convention next year. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ginger. May I add something to that, please?
Yes, absolutely. Go right ahead.
Okay. I know that in my previous program, when I would go to conventions and retreats and whatever, and I would come home, I would suffer a post-depression because I was in this unrealistic world. But since coming to see how, when I go to conventions, I haven't experienced it as greatly. And I think the reason I haven't since I've come to see how is that I have surrendered to the program, and so that high can continue at home. Not to say that it doesn't feel different, because you have so much program and now you have real life. Then what I would do is share my enthusiasm with those around me, and phone bridge is such a great opportunity to do that, because we get to share how wonderful it was. So thank you.
This is Suzanne. May I share briefly on that?
Please, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
yeah, I can relate because I remember one of my sponsors just it overwhelmed right at the end, and it's that high and then the low. So what I have done is when I leave the convention, I get on the next phone bridge possible to share what I just experienced. And I did that this time on the way home. It took me a while to get home. On the way home, I got on the afternoon phone bridge and shared. And you remember I shared that Sunday morning, by the time the Sunday came, I was really tired. I came home. The other thing is self-care. So allow yourself some self-care time. When I came home, it was extremely hot. Well, it was hot and it was humid, more humid than normal for this area. And I had a fever. And don't ask me why. Who knows why? Maybe the emotions. I don't know. So I took a shower and I went to sleep. And I took care of myself instead of just throwing myself into, oh, well, now I have all this enthusiasm and all this energy. Let me go do something. I thought, no, why don't I take care of myself, as my sponsor keeps telling me. So I took care of myself, and I went to sleep for a little bit. But the one thing is I have asked my sponsees when they have this high and this low, share it on the next possible meeting and write about it. And, you know, give it over. Give it to God. And that has helped. But like I said, the self-care is so important. Give yourself a little time to readjust to back to the, you know, quote-unquote normal life. Well, not for us, it's not normal, but life itself. Just allow yourself a little time to adjust. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Susanna. Another question?
Yes, I have a question. If you could recommend one thing or two to improve the convention, what would it be?
Suzanne, I'll be brief. Easier registration. The registration process is not easy. And I think if the process were a lot easier, different company, we'd get more people. A lot of people gave up. I'm not going to say a lot. I know a few. A few people gave up. And it should be easy to register. That's the. If you only ask me one thing, that's the one thing I'll pick. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Anybody else want to answer?
My name is Daisha, and I wanted to share. I have to mention that I gratefully received the scholarship, and I was very grateful for it, so I could spend the money on participating on the Friday evening dinner, and I'm very grateful for that. Some people share with me that it was too expensive for them, the dinners or some meals, and that they either have money for either the convention, pay for the going to the convention or the meals. And that was kind of my case, you know, and I hope to have more budget for the future and be able to pay for everything. But someone also from another part of the, from my original group also shared that with me over the phone. She asked, were you able to participate in the meals? I said, yeah, on one of them. And she said, she said that was something she had pointed out in the past, that it was too expensive, that, she kind of shared, would there be a way of making it more accessible to people? Because some people ate out instead of eating their meals with the rest of the group because they couldn't pay for everything. It's my two cents. And I know this is all to raise funds for the fellowship, and we need so much. We need it so much. We need the funds and raising all that money. I just wonder if there would be a way to make it more affordable and accessible to some people. So thank you for letting me share with that. I'll pass.
Hi, this is Ginger, and one thing I think that would help, we do say there's scholarships available. I know that people didn't find out until really late that they were getting a scholarship. And so possibly having that committee make decisions a little bit earlier.
Thanks, Aisha. Thanks, Ginger. Anybody else?
What was the most fun thing people did at the convention?
Everything was so much fun. You know, it would really be hard to say this one thing was the most fun. For me, meeting people on PhoneBridge, that was one of the most fun things about it. I love dancing, and so the dance was so much fun. I love eating, and the food was delicious, and getting to sit with other people. So that was so much fun. So, you know, for me, it would be really, really hard to say the best thing about it. You know, the workshops, the speakers, it's just all fantastic. So with that, I'll pass.
Okay, then I'll go. Thanks. It was all fun, even that Sunday workshop that I was half asleep for. It was impromptu, it was improv. And even though I was half out of it, it was a lot of fun because I need to be more spontaneous. And that's one thing I'm learning to do is be, I'm not very spontaneous at all for a number of reasons. And so that was great because it was spontaneous, you know, like, you got to get up and do this, and I really didn't do anything, but it was great to see other people do it. That was fun. I had a lot of fun in the talent show, but not just because I was in it. I always had a lot of fun at the talent show. It was fun. I let my artistic juices, I didn't know I had any flow, which that was fun. The dancing. I wish there was dancing both nights. I had a lot of fun dancing because in the past that was one way how I expressed myself. Dancing. So I had fun. Cool. I had fun in everything, but those are the top ones. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Daisha. I wanted to share on that question. The most fun I had was in the talent show because, you know, it's hard to share your talents in front of a crowd, and usually, like, again, in the past, that was, in my case, linked to either overeating or drinking alcohol. So to see that people were having fun abstinently, and it was as fun or more fun because I felt clean, and I was sharing kinship with others, and that was beautiful to see. And I am learning, and that was one of the first experiences I had. Probably I'm learning to have fun abstinently. It's a paradox. But it's not a contradiction. It's an apparent contradiction, but it's not truly a contradiction. I'm learning to have true joy and seeing people lose their inhibitions a little bit, but not inappropriately, just enough to let themselves out authentically and share their talents and have fun with their friends and, you know, go out, go to sleep late and stuff like that. But we were not wasted. And that was so, it was healing for me. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aisha. This is Beth. I'll actually share on that. I had the opportunity to facilitate one of the workshops, and I called it Act Your Way Into Right Thinking. And I just enjoyed being able to share my story and working with a co-presenter and then utilize like some of my talents and interests of group work and facilitation. And in the workshop, we did a group activity and a partner activity and did kind of the sharing and team building and expressing your emotions and physicality and sharing your stories. And it was just really fun and inspiring to hear people engage with one another and make new relationships and share their experience, strength, and hope, and to be affirmed at the end. I'm like, wow, thanks for that workshop, and I really got a lot out of it, and you did a good job. I mean, I didn't do it for the accolades, but that's the beauty of service. When you do things for recovery, for my own program, for other people, you know, it's a win-win situation for everybody. And it's just an honor and pleasure to be able to participate on many different levels. And that was great. And of course, I mean, seeing people that you hear on the phone you know, you're across the room, you hear a familiar voice, you've never seen their face, but you start to slowly walk towards that voice, and you're like, oh, you're totally different than I imagined in my head. And that's pretty special. So that's my fun experience. Anybody else? Robin, do you want to share? Or Margaret?
I have a weird question. This is Lynn.
Go ahead.
Okay, so what Beth just said gave me the courage to say it. I haven't wanted to go to conventions. I've kind of liked the anonymity. Listening to this panel, I got so grateful. I'm in California, and to hear somebody's take on the hotel that was so grateful, I mean, there's a lot of jaded people where I live. I've kind of not wanted to take the mystique out of the phone bridge. I mean, I go to face-to-face meetings in California, and it's just not as warm. It's just not as close. And people are people. Has anybody on the panel ever had trepidation about the judgmentalness that's human, about someone maybe being disappointed about the way you look, or any of those? I don't know how I'm trying to phrase this question because it sounds pretty goofy, but it's kind of like having sex before you get married. I don't want to take the bloom off the rose and go into that judgmental thing, because I've grown so much just by being who I really am on the other end of the phone. Has anybody stayed away from the convention for that reason, or am I alone in this? Thank you.
This is Robin. I'd love to respond.
Go ahead, Robin, and thank you, Lynn, for your question.
Okay, well, I think I kind of touched on this when I was talking. I had the same, I was concerned about the very same thing. I just didn't know if I really wanted people to see me. I didn't know if I really wanted to see them. I liked just the anonymity of not knowing what we look like, not judging by our clothes, our hair, or anything, you know. But once I got out there, really, I'm very thankful that I went. And, you know, of course, once you go and you see everybody, you can't ungo. So, but if I was you, I would go for it. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised and really have a good time. And you'll see that we're all just the same. We don't have anything to hide from each other. We love each other even before we see each other. So I just think it's beautiful. And that was one thing I didn't talk about much in my share. And after I got done, I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I didn't talk about that. I met people out there that I don't think I would have. I'm sure I've talked to them on, I've heard them on PhoneBridge before. But now I know them, and I love them. And I know that they love me. And we might not talk as much as I would like for us to, because we all are busy and have our own lives. But I know they're out there, and I know what they look like. And it's just beautiful. One thing, we were eating a meal once, and I shared that, you know, since I don't have any face-to-face meetings or anything, well, a lady had a medal or a medallion or whatever you guys call them that get to go to meetings and get those kind of things. And I had never had one, and I had 4 years of abstinence. And this woman that is on PhoneBridge, and I've heard her before and everything, but now I'm sitting here at breakfast with her, and she whips out this thing out of her purse. It was a 3-year chip. And we sit there, and the other two ladies and her, they did a little ceremony right there for me, and we prayed about it, and it was just beautiful. And I would have missed that, and that's just precious memory. So I would say don't be afraid and just give it a try. Thanks.
Can I say thank you, Beth?
I need information. Go ahead.
bottom line, it's my 65th birthday today, and I just want to thank, I want to thank Robin for an attitude adjustment. I mean, I remember when I went to the Arch in Missouri in 1984, the studio sent us before we got to go to Paradise Island, Bahamas, and I remember how excited I was to go to the Arch, and I realized how jaded I've gotten, and I want to thank you all in this meeting for giving me another growth spurt, and I got to get over myself. Thank you so much for helping me.
Thank you. We probably have time for about one more question. Anybody else have a question they'd like to ask? I'll ask a question to the panelists. What was a workshop or Friday night or Saturday night event that stood out to you? We've talked a lot about it, but are there any specific workshops that you took away something from?
Hi, this is Jaisha. I was thinking about that before you asked the question. There was a workshop, I think it was Saturday, about the Forever Abstinent booklet, kind of answering questions, or how the people in the panel were very long-term, had a very strong long-term abstinence, and they addressed some questions that were helpful for me in my path as a new maintenance sponsor. So some things they addressed, like they had heard people doing stuff a little bit outside the, you know, the booklet, stuff like that. And that's really not in here, you know. It's not in print. So they addressed stuff like that, and they answered some important questions. And sad thing, I had a workshop right after that one, so I didn't get to ask a question I had about the booklet, and I would like to, I don't know if through Beth you can help me with that. I would like to have the names of the people in the panel, so maybe I could contact them through the phone bridge or in another way to ask that question, which is important to me. But it was really strong, hardcore, you know, to the core stuff from the program. It went, you know, one person shared about her attitude when eating was abstinent and did not only mean just waiting and measuring the food. You know, she, for example, something I struggle with, not starting to eat right before I go to the table, you know, and she said, no, I prepare everything. I sit down and then I enjoy my meal, but I don't eat while cooking or stuff like that. Even if it's measured and weighted food, and that's already on the plate, you know, she doesn't touch it until she finishes preparing everything. And then, you know, like that's part of her sanity. Stuff like that was really important. I really appreciated that workshop on the Forever Abstinent booklet, and I really hope to hear it next year or in a future convention. Thanks.
Thank you, Aisha. And as a side note, or a front note, all of the workshops at the convention were recorded, and they are in the process of being edited and reviewed by the board and by the website committee. And eventually, hopefully in the next few months, they will be published on the website. So that Forever Abstinent workshop will be online, and you can download it as a podcast or listen to it online, along with some of the other workshops. They're being edited for any content.
Thanks. I just hope I could get the names also of the panelists. I wanted to.
Yes. Give me a call. I do have them. I went to the workshop, and I do remember who they are, so I can give you those names.
Thank you. That would be so helpful. Helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Cheryl, compulsive eater, the Phonebridge coordinator. I will now stop the recording.
Great. Thank you, Cheryl, for your service. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And thank you to all the panelists.